This is a BelowTopSecret.com member podcast. This is Magic of AboveTopSecret.com replying to the saddened elf on the topic concerning Hibernay. obviously, I enjoy talking about this topic because here I am again. And I saw your reply, and there's just some wonderful things in your reply. I know what you mean about the daydreaming part. And you know, it gets romanticized in some ways and people not daydreaming in other ways. And there's even the study I was reading about, you might have seen in the ATSNet about daydreaming possibly leading to Alzheimer's. Oh no! I have a feeling there's a little bit more to the story than that. But yeah, you mentioned, oh, what should you rather do, schoolwork or daydreaming? Gee, let me think about that. Like, not. No, sorry, this kind of takes me back. I had a rather spotty career in school. I went to a lot of different schools. Just had to move from place to place. And some schools I did really well, and other schools I didn't. And one of the things certainly I ran into was that, yeah, I like to daydream. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, there's a time for daydreaming and a time for being focused and you know, keeping your eye on what you should be doing. And whenever I figure out just when those times should be, I'll be sure to let you know. but, yes, these questions that you ask, you know, these are the questions that Hibernay Renne asks also. You know, the meaning of life, where do we go after we die? You know, what are the Hibernay? This is a question that gets asked a lot in the course of the show. What are the Hibernay? and I'll tell you, they never really answer that question. I don't want to spoil the show, but there's a lot of questions that just don't get answered. I mean, there's a lot of questions that do, so don't get me wrong. It's not like In Search Of. I don't know if you would remember a TV show called In Search Of that was narrated by Leonard Nimoy. And the defining feature of that show was that at the end of every broadcast, they'd show, I think it was like an hour-long show, it was something like that, they would ask questions like, In Search Of Bigfoot, In Search Of the Loch Ness Monster. And you knew, even before you saw the show, that when you got to the end of the show, it would be the same deal. They wouldn't have any answers, just a bunch of questions. And the same questions, by the way, they started the show with. So that was the formula for In Search Of. Hibernay Renne is not quite that bad, but one of the things I admire about Yoshitoshi Abe's writing is that he's smart enough not to put all these thoughts in the mind of the viewer. You know, you're free to interpret this show in a lot of different ways. For example, the show uses Christian symbolism, you know, with the wings and the halos and the, you know, angelic thing. And there's even a shot of a church with a cross on it in the town. And the implication is that this is kind of a Western, you know, make a European kind of town, with a Christian, with Christians in it. But the actual philosophies that are talked about in the show are very Buddhist, very, very Buddhist. In fact, I really think that the philosophies of the show reflect Abe, which I'm guessing he's a Japanese Zen Buddhist with a dash of Shinto. That's the way I like to describe it. The thing is, though, there are a lot of Christians that watch Hibernay Renne that it just totally works for them. And really, from a Christian point of view, there isn't anything about Hibernay Renne that's not compatible with Christian philosophy. I mean, I imagine there's some people, especially Bible-thumping fundamentalists, that will find some technicality. But really, the overall concept of Hibernay Renne is very consistent with Christian teachings. What I think is interesting is that it's also consistent with Buddhist teachings, and I think even like Hindu teachings, teachings and a few other things. So it's not a preachy show. It doesn't really try and cram an ideology down people's throats. And yet it deals with questions of life, the universe, and everything. It's a pretty deep show, and I'm really quite impressed at the way it deals with these subjects without necessarily answering the questions that it asks. You mentioned, promise to watch the rest of the series. Hey, whenever you can is fine. I gave my ex-wife a copy months ago. I don't think she's gotten around to watching it yet. She's very busy. and I know when she watches it, she's going to like it. But, you know, she's going to watch it when the time is right for her. And that's the right time to watch it. So, you know, I'm always trying to get people to watch the show. But I realize that, you know, there's a right time for it. You know, what's funny about this show also, if anyone's been listening to some of my talks about spiritualism and stuff like that, you might notice, like when I talk about Vanessa and stuff, you know, about being an angel, you might think there's a connection. What's interesting about that is that I saw this show after I had the visions of Vanessa. So it's not like I saw the show and then I said, oh, look, Vanessa, she looks just like an angel. Actually, it was the other way around. And that's one of the reasons why I think I really glommed onto the show is I had just, you know, the month before just had these wild spiritual adventures. And then I saw the show and everything in the show just seemed to kind of jibe with what I had experienced in my meditations. And, you know, I just had this, there are no coincidences kind of feeling. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've been so fascinated by the show, because it really does dovetail in surprising ways with the things I've experienced firsthand, even before I knew anything about this show. So kind of some interesting things about that from a spiritual perspective. But anyway, I just wanted to get back to you on that. I really am enjoying your posts and your responses, and I'm certainly looking forward to your comments as you progress through the series, and particularly when you finish the series. And I hope that you will find, I'll tell you, even if you enjoy the series, you know, 1% as much as I have, it'll be probably, you'll really find that quite enjoyable, because I have just found this show just ridiculously cool. Anyway, this is Magic, fawning and droning yet more, bubbling about my favorite visual art production of all time, Haibane Renmei. And of course, oh, by the way, that intro there, that's Nemu's theme from the Image album, which isn't in the show, but it's an album that was produced by Ko Ohtani to go along with the Haibane theme. And there's some excellent music on there, and I'm going to play another song from that album for you, just a piece of it, a sample, on the way out. Anyway, this has been Magic, M-A-J-I-C, at AboveTopSecret.com with a BelowTopSecret.com member podcast reply to the Saddened Elf on the topic concerning Haibane.